This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave from the Capital Auto Group Studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Is it Friday yet?
Not yet.
No.
Dave, not yet.
Man.
You sound like you don't love your job.
No, it was hard to get up this morning.
Like, you just don't want to be here. But I know that's not true, because every time I come into the studio, Dave Bourne has a smile on his face.
That's true.
Pretty much. I think it's just because he's happy to see me.
That is true, too.
So, welcome, everybody, to Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart, along with Dave Bourne, and this is your place for the Mid-Valley, for Salem and Kaiser to listen about what's going on in their community, the institutions, individuals, ideas, and initiatives that we talk about here that affect our life and our quality of life here and even our wallets. All right. So thanks for being with us today. Speaking of our wallets, a couple of different things intersect with the cost of gas, which we talked about yesterday.
Right.
So I want to know if anybody else wants to weigh in on this self-serve debate and whether or not we should have it, whether or not it should go to the voters.
It should. Now.
Yeah, whether they feel strongly about, no, I don't ever want to pump gas. How people feel about it. Usually, it's a pretty good discussion. A lot of Oregonians are very adamant about not wanting to do it. Or even if they want to do it, that people shouldn't be forced to pump their own gas by not having options in the marketplace, right?
Well, like you said before, though, it's options. You have the full service, you'll have the self-service.
Yeah.
Same price.
So if you want to weigh in, 503-393-1430, 503-393. 1430. And also, of course, cap and trade. I don't know that we talk about it enough here on Newsmakers. I saw Representative Denise Bowles a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
And yes, we're going to have her on the show.
Good.
She represents a huge swath of Salem, and it's about time we had her on the show. So I asked her how things going at the Capitol, and Representative Bowles, big sigh, you know.
Oh, wow.
It's, like, it's tough. Things are tough.
So I have a question for you. Cap and trade. I know a little bit about it. Educate me on what cap and trade is.
We're going to have to get a legislator in to explain it. Actually, I've been asking to see if we can get Northwest Natural representative in.
Okay.
And talk, you know, private company, and they have to do business at the Capitol. They have to, you know,
right.
And they're regulated and what have you. But
because when I hear,
but they are testifying against it.
Okay. But when I hear cap and trade, I think they're going to put cap on something, and it affects the trade with other countries.
Yeah.
Is that it?
No, it's much more sinister than that.
Really?
So it is, in a snippet, they want to cap the number of carbon emissions in Oregon. That's the cap. They want to artificially set.
Hey, what?
These are the number of carbon emissions that are allowable in Oregon, right? So there's the cap. We want to cap everyone's production, especially businesses, of carbon emissions. And then
don't plants need that?
Then if you exceed that, then you have to pay a penalty. You have to pay a fine, and that money can be traded to buy credits from, let's say Dave Bourne has a business that is green.
Okay.
Right? It's lowering carbon emissions. Right. And maybe it's lighting efficiency. Maybe it's a new technology, whatever it is. But if you have a business that's creating, you know, green credits, we'll call them, they get to trade. The polluters get to trade. Sounds really good. So we're going to cap Oregon,
sounds
which
like
is
a
not
false business,
not one of the biggest polluters in the nation. And then the nation.
No,
is
we're not even
compared
close
to China. And anyway, so
wait, aren't we carbon?
We're carbon. Okay. All the trees that burned down are carbon.
Wait, and people are carbon.
People
and so
carbon.
They're trying to limit us.
No, it's after fossil fuels. It's really all about fossil fuels. It's about diesel. It's about gasoline. It's about natural gas now, where it used to be natural gas was a green
it
fuel.
Is. It's natural. Hello. Yeah.
It is a fossil
it's
fuel.
It's in the name.
Burns carbon.
Natural gas.
So it's really all about fossil fuels, right? So what that means for all of us and our wallets, folks, is you're going to pay more at the pump because the oil companies will have to write the check Right? They're going to have to write the check, and they'll be more expensive at the pump. And to heat your home with natural gas or propane is going to be more expensive. So everybody does need to understand that this is not taxing ExxonMobil for the benefit of the world surviving from climate change. This is taxing every single one of us in our vehicles, in our homes. All of it's going to roll downhill.
And it means more homeless.
Potentially. So it certainly means people...
No, it's going to lead to that, because you overprice things. People can barely afford it now, that are especially on fixed incomes, are not going to be able to afford it. They'll be evicted from their house.
Then there's the whole thing that Oregon's a drop in the bucket. And should we do it and set the example for the world?
No.
Or should we not do it because we're out on a limb here? It even died. I mean, it died in U.S. Congress.
Well, thank God.
Actually, we're going to talk a lot about Kurt Schrader today. All right. So I want to get to Kurt Schrader. We're going to talk about him because this subject came up. He was in the community recently. I heard him speak for about an hour and take a lot of questions.
About cap and trade.
Yeah. U.S. Representative Schrader said he thinks that overreach around the Obama's first administration.
Uh-huh.
Was partly why the Democrats lost the House. I mean, that's why they lost momentum, and they kind of went crashing in terms of popularity because they were just going too far. You know, Obamacare was one thing, and this was another, and this was another, and then the cap and trade, and it was too much.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, it was interesting. So now, Oregon, will we do it? Will it cost us all in our wallets? Will our businesses, actually, Representative Bowles, again, Denise Bowles, she said, watch cap and trade and what it's going to do for jet fuel prices, because we're trying to recruit commercial air service to Salem, right? Does that put Oregon and stopping in Oregon buying jet fuel in Oregon more expensive because it's a fossil fuel? And how will that affect our competitiveness when we're competing? We're not competing against Portland. We're not competing against Medford. We're competing against, you know, Topeka and St. Petersburg and Peoria and a lot of small markets across the nation. And
more truth to the fact that they don't think about the, when they propose these things, it sounds good on the surface, but they don't think it through as what it's going to do to business here.
I'm going to use the Dave Bourne phrase. I love this. Yeah. This popped in my head. I'm like, that's what Dave would say. Does it though? Does it though?
Yeah.
The whole, we want to cap these emissions at an artificial level that we're going to pick out.
Uh-huh.
We're going to make it up and say, this is the amount. And, you know, it would require immediate scale back or immediate penalties. And the concept is they're going to force industries, be they power industries, fuel industries, and so on and so forth, force them to create the technology to invest to become more energy efficient and lower impact polluters.
All right. Does it affect cow farting or people farting? That's all I want to know. Let's take a break.
On that, stick with us. We're going to talk a little more about Congressman Kurt Schrader and what he had to say. This is Newsmakers 1430 KYKN, Salem's Listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly sponsored by Color Tile of Salem.
Thank you, Color Tile. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne, and we are going to transition from ranting about cap and trade. It won't be the last
useless
thing you hear about it, but do take an effort to educate yourself. And I don't care if you are a Democrat, an independent, a Republican. Government's going to reach in your pockets, and this is quite possibly an overreach, you might say.
Most of the time.
So let your legislators know.
Yes.
You know, let Senator Courtney know, because he's, you know, a caucus leader. He's a Senate, you know, leader. So let Senator Courtney know. All right, moving on. Kurt Schrader, U.S. Representative, District 5 for Oregon. He's an interesting guy. He has been a veterinarian. He's been a farmer. He's been in Congress now for over 10 years, I believe. He's a Democrat. He describes himself as a blue dog Democrat. Describes himself as a moderate Democrat and a problem solver group member.
Well, we like problem solvers.
I've heard him speak to business groups. He talks pretty well, as far as pretty frankly, you know. He's not afraid to throw his party under the bus, which I like.
Yeah, that's good.
Good trait. And then, but, you know, the proof comes in, but how do you vote?
Yeah.
But how do you vote? And do you say something else? I've never been in an audience of people who skew left and heard him speak to see if it's the same story.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll give him the benefit of the doubt. How about that? We'll give him the benefit of the doubt. But I've never seen him address, you know, a room of liberal minorities or liberal activists or anything like that to see how that. So there's some issues that I just can't understand why he's on that side. Otherwise, a lot of times he can speak pretty pragmatically. And so I wanted to share what he had to say. So we talked a little bit. He talked a little bit about the labor overtime threshold. And we talked about that on Newsmakers.
Mm-hmm.
There were a lot of employers in the room. And basically, how do you describe this? If you are a supervisor or a manager in title, and you don't have to be paid overtime, right? Even if you work more than 40 hours.
Right.
So restaurants, fast food restaurants, offices, even people in the trades and so forth. That threshold for being exempt from overtime pay is only about $23,000 right now. Okay. I didn't do the math on that, but that's about $12 an hour.
Yeah.
So I can see how there's an argument made that people making $12 an hour should not be exempt from overtime, that that's an hourly wage. So the Obama administration tried to bring that up over 50,000 and even negotiated it down to maybe 48,000, right?
Mm-hmm.
Too big a reach, died.
Right.
Now the U.S. Labor Department's bringing it back up. They're looking at a threshold of about 36,000.
That's more reasonable.
Representative Schrader said, yeah, I think they shouldn't make the same mistake twice. They learned a lesson, and something needs to happen. So 36,000, I did do the math, and it is about $17 an hour.
That's not bad.
So someone is on salary making the equivalent of $17 an hour for a 40-hour work week. They can be exempt. If they're a supervisor and not just a clock in, clock out hourly employee.
Right.
All right. So that was that. Let's move on. Pelosi is my biggest question. Pelosi, because I've heard him say back when it was Pelosi, it was probably Boehner at the time, the two party leaders.
Right.
And he said the leaders of both parties really aren't interested in doing any work. It's only about power. He said, my party, the other party. At the top, and that's what we all suspect, right? All the voters, and like, why are you jerking around in Washington? How come nothing happens? Well, of course, sometimes we're happy nothing happens, right? But, and it's because all they're counting is how many seats can we get? How many seats do we have? How much power can we get? It's all about power. We want power. They can't have power. If it's a bill by them, by the other side, we can't let that move forward. We need to have the power to stop a bill from the other side moving forward, because even if it's a good idea to make them look good, and it doesn't give us power. He didn't say all these things, but he did flat out say, unfortunately, the leadership in both parties were only interested in power.
That is sad.
Yeah, it is terrifying. So I'm scratching my head, and I said, well, Representative Schrader, you're part of this moderate group. He had a name for it, a problem solver group. Bipartisan. He considered himself moderate, blue dog, Democrat. And so there's independents, there's Republicans and Democrats. They want to get the work done. There's good work to be done.
There is.
One of the things, they passed a farm bill not long ago. He was happy about that. Infrastructure things, you know, work are the people. I said, well, why don't you people get a consortium and vote somebody else in power that wants to do the work instead of a Nancy Pelosi? Why is she still in the front of the room?
Right.
For goodness sakes, isn't she like the second most disliked woman in America after Hillary Clinton?
I think she's number one now.
Anyway, to his credit, I thought this was really important. So for the listener, understand, Kurt Schrader voted against Nancy Pelosi. I didn't know this. I'm sure it was in the news local.
Wow.
And it went right past me. Voted against her being the chair.
That's good.
Wow. In other words, nothing he proposes is going to get passed a committee. Because
he voted against
her. You have
to
jettison political power if you go against the machine. Right? And he didn't think it was the right choice. So kudos to him.
Yeah.
He's a D. Well, she weren't. But yeah. Kudos to him.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I'm starred for in America when we rant about power and rant about leadership. He's like, no, I don't think that's right for Congress. I don't think that's right for our party. Nope. No, he said no to Pelosi.
Wow. Wow. That's surprising.
All right. Prescription drugs. I'm trying to get us an expert on the radio to come into Newsmakers and talk about why drug prices are so high. The marketplace, your neighborhood drugstore, right? Yeah. How is that different from Walmart? How is generic different from name brand and all these things? And some of that happens in the marketplace and the regulations, because a lot of America is taking pharmaceuticals.
Mm-hmm.
And he said one of the things, I think he said, anyway, it's the people in the middle. It's the middle men in pharmaceutical industry that's affecting our pocketbook so much. President Trump said it in the State of the Union. He alluded to it, says it's the people in the middle. They're getting fat, and that's where these pharmaceutical costs are really driving up high. Hmm. It's not your local pharmacist.
He's not making it.
And sometimes it's not even the manufacturer. It's these middlemen.
Yeah, they used to say that the manufacturer, they spent so much in development and research and everything that it was millions of dollars that they were trying to make it up in the first couple of years that they had it, you know, as a new drug.
Yeah. Oh, of course, we live in a litigious country, so they have to
The big country, you know, big companies. Yeah.
They have to be prepared to fight off lawsuits in America that they don't fight off in other countries.
Yeah.
They're like, well, why is it less expensive in Africa?
Because they don't have, lawsuits like we do. Frivolous ones most of the time.
All right. So he was talking about problem solver group. So the question was brought up about how labor issues, and we all have labor. We're going to talk about workforce next week. We've got guests coming in here at the Newsmakers. We've talked about it before, the need for labor in industries, agricultural, construction, and so forth, and how that intersects with immigration. Okay? And I know we always talk local stuff here on Newsmakers, but these things absolutely affect our local economy and our workplace. Having labor right now is really, really tough. People can't find people to work. Even temp agencies are having trouble finding people that are coming to the temp agency. And so they've got more requests to fill jobs with bodies than they have people that get in the door.
Wow.
It's amazing. All right. So how does that intersect with immigration? Why don't you talk to your problem solver group? So this is me. I'm raising my hand.
Okay.
Representative. You know, and it's just gridlock in Washington. You know, if we had 300 problem solvers in Congress, it would be different, right? Because then it would be 3/4 of Congress, of the U.S. House. I said, well, the problem is UDs, you want a pathway to citizenship, which the R's don't, and they don't want anything that smacks of amnesty, right? But why don't you problem solvers figure out a pathway to legality so we don't have illegal aliens in our country? Mm-hmm. So we don't think it's beneficial and a good thing to have illegal immigration in a country. Why don't you make them legal? Because especially for the industries that need the labor. And we've got some agricultural people listening to Newsmakers, and they're probably nodding right now. It's like, we need the labor. We need people that aren't going to live in the gray areas of society. Anyway, pathway to legality is the point in the middle where you put the human traffickers out of business because they can come and go. They can go home. They can come and do the work, and our industry that needs the labor gets legal labor. Oh, well, and this is that was my rant to him in a polite question. And by the way, we've had programs for guest workers in my lifetime, in your lifetime. They existed in America in our lifetime. We've had guest worker programs.
Yes.
Registrations.
We still do.
No, we don't.
We don't?
No, not really. I mean, not to
work visas.
Not to the extent I'm talking about. You know, because yes, you can bring somebody in and they can have work visas, but not guest worker programs to the extent I'm talking about.
Oh, okay.
All right. But his reaction was, this is his quote, Congressman Kurt Schrader, it's impossible to have a rational discussion on immigration.
What?
Mm-hmm. In Washington. It's very emotional.
In Washington. Yeah.
Okay. It's very emotional for a lot of reps, and they just react emotionally. And he cited some groups of Latino representatives, the more liberal elements of his party. And so he was frustrated as well. And I
can see that.
I don't know how we're going to get to it. I mean, we're pretty polarized, but for him to say, yeah, you really just can't have a rational discussion on it and solve the problem or work towards, because it's got to be all of this or all of that.
There's it's no either, like no in between.
You're a racist and you hate Mexicans and you're a xenophobe and you're a moron, or you want to open borders. And there's no rational discussion because that's where the grenades are being launched. So, and again, I'm characterizing. Those are not his words. So.
Right.
All right. What else? We're going to take a break here in a second. actually, let's take a break right now because I don't want to launch into this. I want to tell everybody what he said about AOC.
Ooh.
Right? So it came up. And so stick with us here on Newsmakers, and we'll tell you what our representative, Kurt Schrader, said about AOC. On Newsmakers, 1430 KYKN, Salem's listening.
Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, presented by Les Schwab Tires, continues in the Capital Auto Group studios. Here's Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Sylvan Learning Center.
And our hour is going fast. I'm surprised that you people, you're not calling in and talking about self-serve. I'm 503-393-1430. If you've got a quick opinion, we'll slide you in on a phone call if you like. 503-393-1430 if you think Oregon should be able to vote. That's what we think. Should be able to vote on whether or not it has self-serve. I heard this too because I've been talking about this and involved in the subject since the mid-90s. Right. And at the time, like, we voted on this, and then it was 2000, then it was 2005, and it was like, we voted on this. The people, you know, when the last time Oregonians had a right to vote on whether or not they wanted a ban on self-serve gasoline?
Wow.
1983.
Really? Oh, I remember that.
1983. So let's count the years. That's 35 years.
Yeah.
Plus the voting age, right?
Yeah.
So that's 18, right?
So far. Right.
So nobody under the age of 53 has voted on this.
True.
Nobody has under the age of 53 in Oregon has voted at the polls about whether or not they want self-serve to be legal or an option. So you don't hear it as much, but you do hear it every now and then. Well, Oregonians, we already voted on that. That was decided. Yeah. In 1983, Ronald Reagan was in his first term for the people. Come on. Anyway, moving on. I promised to talk about Representative Schrader.
That was just a little soapbox there.
Yeah. No, I just make sure people understand.
Yeah. I gotcha.
So
I want to pump my own gas too.
Representative Schrader, he's always talking about doing the work, getting things done in Washington as best they can. He said AOC is not what the party is about every day. It's not what we are doing every day. He says the press loves to talk about AOC, but let me tell you, as far as the speaker's concerned, as far as, you know, most of us are concerned, that's not what we're doing every day.
Right.
It's not what we're doing every day. The speaker is in a position of having to move to the center. I mean, you've noticed, you know, because of AOC and maybe Elizabeth Warren and people out there. So the press loves all that stuff because it's polarizing.
Because we're out there.
Yeah. But on the message from our representative was, yeah, that's not really what we're talking about. The stuff that AOC is talking about.
Like the new Green Deal.
Yeah, that's not what we're talking about. All right. I thought that was interesting. Okay, a couple more things on what we heard from Kurt Schrader in the community recently. He does a pretty good job finding ways to interact with, you know, the fairly large district when he's in town. He's on China and trade, because that was a topic. And he did have a number of business owners, a lot of people in the trades, a lot of people in the building industry. And they're like, you know, Canada, we're pointing at tariffs with Canada and softwoods. You know, how much has wood price varied in the last 12 to 18 months? And the tariffs, and how did this affect? And how is this going to affect our economy? And so on and so forth. He said the words, "I'm with the president on China."
Good.
Well, okay. I don't know if he's with the president on everything having to do with China, but here was the perspective. 10 years ago, China probably still could be characterized as an emerging economy, an emerging market. 10, 15 years ago, things that we do, how we treat as a country, our trade deals does differ whether or not we're trading with Germany, is one of what, the third largest economy in the world or something, I don't know, mature economy versus an emerging economy, right?
Okay.
It's like China's not that anymore. China's arrived. So it's time for us to treat China like an equal and not like a low-income partner that we need to baby along.
They're involved in the world. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a different relationship, was his point. So he's with the president and changing how we treat China in terms of trade and forcing them to behave not like they're the underdog anymore, not like they need the boost up anymore, and that our trade deals need renegotiated. Loved it.
Have we paid back our debt to China?
We never will.
Because they bought a lot of our debt.
They still do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they pretty much own a lot of the United States that we don't know about.
So I did write down a quote. I don't like to characterize falsely somebody else's, comments, but I did write some of the quotes. It's time to renegotiate. Some of these deals that we've had with China, treat them at some of these deals, we need to treat them as an equal, not a developing country.
That's cool.
Yeah. And so one person in the room said, does he know that he's a Republican? I don't know if I want to give you that much credit, Representative, but we'll have you in Newsmakers. We're happy to have you in.
Anytime.
All right. One more topic there. And again, we're talking about Kurt Schrader being in the community a week or so ago and making some comments and taking questions, forest management.
That's a big deal here.
It is. It is. It's hard to overstate what forest management means to Oregon and Washington, and to a certain extent, California
for sure,
well,
too.
Right?
Yeah. It's heartbreaking to watch the forests burn.
It is.
It is heartbreaking.
So I'm really perplexed with, let's say you're a tree hugger, right? Let's say you're not just your run-of-the-mill, you're run-of-the-mill environmentalist or outdoorsman, right? Yeah. Which a lot of us are in Oregon, regardless of political party. We love the forests. We like to recreate in it. Mm-hmm. If you're a hunter, if you're a fisher, you're a hiker, you're a skier, whatever it is. All of us are a little bit environmentalists, just not... Let's take the extreme tree hugger person. How are they reconciling shut down all management with what is happening when your old growth gets burned to the ground?
And more than that,
how do they reconcile that in their head?
I don't know. It's crazy.
So no, we won't let you salvage wood. No, we won't let you thin the forest. No, we won't let you build breaks. No. I don't know. So, Senator Schrader. I'm sorry. I gave him a promotion there. Congressman Schrader.
Yeah.
Basically, he said his party's not listening and that it's a frustration for the contingent from Oregon, because the people on the East Coast, they don't know the Northwest. They don't get it. They do not understand the Northwest, was one of the things he said. They do not get it. So if it's salmon, and he referred to the same comment when he's talking about salmon and the sea lions.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, you can't, cull, you can't kill the marine mammals that are eating the salmon. That's just nature. You can't kill them. They don't get what it does to salmon runs. They don't understand the whole environmental issues in the Northwest.
But they are fish.
Even California Democrats are not listening. And he said, Senator gosh, why do I keep doing that?
Congressman
Schrader. They're not. Basically, the voice is not being heard when it comes to forest management. Just not being heard.
But they have forest fires in the East Coast. When I was there on vacation, they had one.
You know how even the California Democrats respond? This is happening because of climate change.
And
that is a quote. He said, that's what they're saying. It's because of climate change. So, throw up your hands, people. Let's, heaven forbid, we do anything that improves what's happening to real people in real communities and real economies because the climate is changing. Now, let's give them climate is changing for the sake of argument. All right. So let's do nothing to adapt to the changing climate. Well, that's thanks for the leadership, folks.
Yeah, they think that we all need to change because they think that we're the problem.
Suddenly, Commissioner Cameron's name is in my head because he feels the same way. It's like if water management in Oregon is going to change because the climate is changing, well, then let's talk about managing the new reality.
Right.
Let's pretend like it's not changing and we don't have to do anything about it. How about we talk about modifying it and having more more retention ability, you know? So maybe we'll have Commissioner Cameron on to rant about that.
I mean, there are so many regulations like around the water in the forest and things like that. Mm-hmm. If you want to do any developing of any kind, you have to create a barrier around the stream and stuff like that. And they can't cut down the trees that are in it, you know, 100 yards on either side of the stream because it might get into the water and it might affect the fish and all that kind of stuff. And that's limiting everything that they can do out there. And shutting down the roads that go out there to the wilderness area, that mm-hmm. and just not doing anything, that is contributing to the forest burning.
Yeah, we had Nick Smith on.
Yeah,
on the show.
Yeah, I remember.
Right? So that's healthy communities, healthy forests.
Right.
And talk about, wow, our ability to respond to a fire will be slowed considerably if you close those roads.
And a lot of them have been.
Yeah, so you can't get to the fire and you cannot fight it. So anyway, Congressman Schrader said he supports thinning. He supports management of the forests. He believes that our forests can be a money maker for governments, money maker for schools, and rural community jobs.
Wow.
He talks like an Oregonian.
Yeah.
Yeah, no kidding. Now, just convince anybody else in Congress that it could be good for government and money for schools and rural community jobs, right?
Yes. George is on the phone. He wants to talk self-serve, gas, trade, and all that kind of
good stuff. Love it. All right, George, you with us? Thanks for calling in.
Yes, I am. I've listened to you the last couple of days talking about the self-serve. Myself, I don't like self-serve. And when I go to other states, you know, you have to do everything yourself pretty much. They don't have, in a lot of stations, they don't have the, you know, ability to have somebody pump your gas for you. And I don't want my wife pumping her gas or anybody else that doesn't want to. Now, I'm not opposed to if there's people that want to do self-serve. In fact, they could do it right now because they could go to one of these companies like, I can't remember the names of them, but I used them when I was working, where you pump your own gas.
Yeah, like Pacific Pride and things like that.
Right, that's it.
Would you be in favor of the self-serve option, at least here in Oregon, with full service on one side and self-serve on the other?
I would not be opposed to that as long as it was set up in such a way that, you know, those that aren't able to do that for themselves are going to be, you know, charged so much that it really creates a problem for them financially.
Well, they're saying that it would be the same price, self-serve, full serve. Same price here in Oregon.
That would be fine.
Yeah.
I would agree with that.
What about, aren't there other states, though, that offer the full serve as well? I think Washington does, don't they?
Well, I'm in Washington quite a bit, and there's some stations that I've seen that maybe, you know, do, but then there's a lot of them that don't even have that option.
Most states should consider that.
The most of them that I've been to in Washington do not offer to come out and do your gas fill for you. You have to do it, and then you have to go inside and pay.
Yeah.
If you don't use a credit card, and I don't like it.
Yeah. Okay. And so now, how about your cap and trade comment? What do you think about that?
I think it's a big bunch of baloney. And I think the only people that are going to benefit from it are the people that, you know, have this do-gooder attitude. And, you know, you got to think about where is that money going to go and how is that going to be regulated?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that's very clear. And in the long run, it's just going to end up costing more money for all of us to pay for everything.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. Thank you, George.
Thank you, George. We're all going to pay higher prices, and the money's going to be a huge mountain of money that I don't think a taxpayer will have any control or say over.
No, follow the money. Who's going to benefit from this cap and trade the most? Then you'll know what it's about.
All right, we got to take one last break, and we'll come back. Thanks for joining us on your noon hour. This is Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, 1430 KYKN, Salem's listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
And welcome back to Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne, and we have been talking about our U.S. representative, Kurt Schrader, and his comments in the community recently. Let's just finish up on what he was saying on the forest. Does somebody think we're going to have another day with more things to talk about than we have minutes in our hour?
Yes, so we always do.
The police facility costs are going up. I want to talk about that really quickly. We talked about this yesterday, but how Oregon funds its public defenders mm-hmm. is actually more important to all of us than we realize until we get arrested, right?
Right. And so forth.
Anyway, lots of things, but finishing up on the forests, Congressman Schrader was saying he does support, management.
I would hope so.
Things like thinning and things like creating jobs and so forth. And it was just really frustrating. It sounded frustrating to him as well to even have California in their experience last year.
Yeah.
And have members of his caucus going, oh, well, it's climate change, so these things are going to happen kind of thing.
But they lost a whole town. How does that happen?
I think they want us all to learn a lesson. You know what I mean? It feels like...
If we learned a lesson from that, then they should be thinning the forest.
They just want us all to pay for the fact that we have destroyed the earth.
Yeah, okay.
And there was another one. When going back to the immigration thing, there were people, and we said they couldn't have a rational discussion.
Mm-hmm.
That... They can't even get the DACA, the Dreamer situation solved. If there's any trade for 1 foot of the wall, his party's not going to move. It's not his party, but the contingent of his party on immigration,
mm-hmm.
they're not going to move. They're not going to permit anything that's a compromise that would provide for 1 foot of wall. If so, there are no vote.
See, right? That doesn't make sense.
Why things don't get done in Washington. I'm a no vote. Yes, if you're going to build any wall at all, we can't go along with you.
We have the tightest security, well, almost next to Israel, I think, for the airports.
Mm.
And we don't have border security. I don't understand.
All right. A couple of other things in the news. In Salem, building that beautiful... we call it the police facility, but really it's a public safety facility.
Right.
Costs are rising above projections. They're trying to cobble together more money. Some money comes from the public works budget. Some money came from the urban renewal area. Some money, which is favorable to us, we were able to get better prices for the bonds that are being issued. So what the city does to build this thing is they sell bonds. In the financial marketplace
mm-hmm.
because of the cities, and the mayor has talked about this. And by the way, the mayor's back from vacation next week.
Oh, good.
So we'll have the mayor back. But because the city has always been very prudent with its bond issuings and its debt level to general budget size, we get very favorable interest rates.
Oh,
and
nice.
That saves us taxpayers money. It mm-hmm. just flat out saves us money. So that... that issuance, it did save about $4 million.
Wow.
In debt issuance costs.
Wow,
right?
That's
so
impressive.
You know, that can backfill some of the cost overruns and so forth. But we have a situation in our economy where all the subcontractors are busy. And there are a lot of jobs, and they're going to pick and choose, and they're going to have bigger margins than they used to. Wages are up in the construction industry. I mean, if you are... talented and you are in the trades and or even if in the management, you could be poached because everyone needs help.
Hmm.
Anyway, that police facility cost is up. Hopefully they won't have to bleed down what it was that the voters voted for as far as how many amenities, what goes in the building, and what size it is and all that. But something to watch. You can find an article in, I think, Salem Reporter.
Nice.
Salem Reporter. All right. Well, we got a few minutes. Let's talk a little bit about House Bill 3145.
What is that?
And this has to do, that's what I was talking about. It has to do how we're funding public defenders.
Oh, yeah.
So in Oregon, it's the only state, of course. You know, I love it when we're the only state that does it this way.
What?
You know. But they pay all of their public defenders on contract. None of them are employees of the state or the county. So they're all paid on contract. So you get an attorney who is getting, I call it piecework, right?
Okay.
You know, sometimes in agriculture or manufacturing, you every time you create a basket, you get this much money every time you do a piece. Well, for these attorneys, they get paid by the case.
Oh.
Well, all right. So doesn't matter if it doesn't go to trial, you're going to make more money per hour, right? So it's incentivizing the attorneys to settle every case, right? Is that in the best interest of the person that needs a public defender?
Mm-hmm.
So this is years ago in an extended family, but somebody got in trouble. It was going to be a capital case, and they looked for an attorney, and it was, oh, well, you're in trouble, and this person was exonerated in the end, right? Oh, you want me to defend you? I'm going to need a retainer of $100,000 in cash before I'll start.
What?
$80,000, $100,000, $50,000, whatever it is. So a lot of us, most of us, if something happens, maybe we're in an automobile accident.
Right.
Maybe whatever it is, if we need to defend ourselves, well, I guess automobile accident would be a civil case. But for a public defender, a lot of us can't afford it. A lot of people can't afford it. So you're getting somebody assigned to you who's going to get paid a flat rate for taking your case. You're lucky if he gets to the back of the file folder.
And then, right? then they're incentivized to settle it.
Right. Because they're getting paid.
And not in your best interest.
Right. Right. So they're basically, it's quantity. How many cases will you take and close, quantity. And, you know, it's a concern. So they're asking for more money to change how they fund. You're asking for more money. I don't know. I'm not fully informed, but we should be fully informed. And we should all be concerned that if people are in trouble and they're innocent, mm-hmm. that they're going to get somebody who does not have time for them.
Right.
I mean, ultimately, it's going to cost us more money because the attorney maybe didn't have time to do the due diligence.
And you can't afford a regular one.
And then it's going to get appealed.
Yeah.
Then it'll get appealed, and then we have to go pay for the appeal instead of doing it right the first time. So I don't usually really feel for the needs of attorneys and their incomes, but these people don't make a lot of money on contract, especially if it's piecework. And,
right.
And they're only getting paid if they take the folder, they close the case, they settle it, and off they go. And they just got piles of them. It's like the caseworkers for human services and why we have tragedies with children.
Yeah.
Right?
Too many cases. So, not enough workers.
Something to watch. And again, there's an expose in the Salem Reporter. So appreciate them being in the community and appreciate them being partners on the KYKN news feed on the website. All right. Tomorrow will be Friday. It'll be your day. It'll be your day. So we'll look forward to talking to everybody tomorrow. Appreciate you spending time with us. Thanks for the call, George.
We'll see you tomorrow.
This has been Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you from the Capital Auto Group studios exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.